And if you'd like someone to pray with you after the service, you can come forward, or you can just stay in your seat and someone will come and pray with you. I've got quite a few notices today. But before that, it's lovely to see Joan de Grishy with us today. And we send our condolences to you and your family, Joan, because they've suffered a bereavement this week. And our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. More mundane things. In our notices this week, there are lots of flyers, I think, about upcoming events. And there's also a special one I've just been handed for Bethesda. People, I expect anyone can go. St. Peter's Church invites you, us it says, so you, anyway, to a Lent lunch at St. Peter's Parish Hall this Saturday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. A warm welcome to all. I've done that one. In our notices, we're going to have a history walk on the 26th of April, celebrating 250 years of Methodism in Jersey. But you have to book a place. And it sounds, anyway, I don't know. We'll know more, I'm sure, as we get nearer the time. But that sounds quite interesting. And there are special services for Lent and Easter. Of course, Lent begins next week. A special service at Georgetown on Ash Wednesday. And here, a Bethlehem notice, our next Saturday is our film night. And it will be, the film is called Golda. It's next Saturday, the 8th of March. Meals at 6 p.m, the film at 7:30. And please let Diane know if you'll be coming to the meal by Wednesday. Thank you. And next Sunday, the service here will be led by Dr. Martin Delap. Oh, and I've got some thank yous to do, because I wasn't able to get to the music practice, so I was. But Diane and Heidi are both away, but it's lovely to have Marilyn and Jan to join us from Bethesda, so that's lovely, thank you. And I'm also delighted Richard has brought his guitar, which will be good, because we don't have Heidi today either. I don't believe there are any birthdays, are there? Or perhaps there are, but not that we know of. Nobody's saying anything, so there can't be. Okay. Well, thank you to everyone who was able to attend the music practice, but yeah, I think I've said most of that, so I'm glad. Anyway, let's go with the service. So our call to worship. We have heard, Lord, we have heard of all that you have done in and through the lives of your people, down the centuries and across the world. You have touched and changed people's whole way of living. You have made people new. We have come to worship you, to be changed by you, to become the people you always meant us to be. Let it happen, Lord, even though we are afraid of change and resist any alteration of our way of life. Challenge us and change us, and fill us with such an awareness of you and your presence that nothing, not even our own hearts and lives, can ever be the same again. Amen. And now we're going to have our first song, which is The Splendor of the King. We thank you for all those who, down the centuries and across the world, have lived bravely for your truth. For those whose commitment has opened other people's eyes to your presence, and for those whose witness, faithfulness, and love makes yesterday bearable, tomorrow hopeful, and today livable. We praise you for the transfiguration of Jesus. We thank you for the way the eyes of his disciples were opened to begin to understand something more of who he really was. We are amazed when we remember those moments when you have broken into our thoughts, our hearts, and our lives, and revealed something more of your lordship, your power, your love, and your glory. We thank you for the blazing light of the Holy Spirit, who transforms our frustration, our darkness, and our emptiness with the power of his presence and makes our lives whole. In the name of Jesus, who changes everything, amen.
Amen.
And a prayer of confession. Lord God, we are sorry for the times we take our eyes off you and seek to do things in our own strength. We are sorry for the times we doubt that you can keep us on the straight and narrow. And we are sorry for the times we ask you for signs. Lord, we pray that you will forgive our doubts and hesitations. Show us your loving presence, especially when we most need it, and teach us to trust you at all times. Amen.
Amen.
And a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. We know that if we are truly sorry, you will allow us to wipe the slate clean and start over again. Thank you that we can bring our burdens to the foot of the cross and leave them there. Open our hearts, Lord, and fill us with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And now we're going to sing again, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you, Doreen, for leading our worship this morning. And a very warm welcome to you all. I don't know why I'm welcoming you. It's a bit nonsensical. Anyway, it's great to see you all here this morning. That's what I really mean. To praise and to worship our wonderful Saviour. And just one extra notice that you won't know because it's not on the plan. But we were due to be closed, as you are, on the 23rd. But we will be open at Bethesda, and I've decided I'm going to take the service there at Bethesda on the 23rd of March. That's a fortnight's time. So if you'd like to join us on that occasion, you'd be very welcome. We are going to take up our offertory now and dedicate that. So if we can... Heavenly Father, giver of all good gifts, Lord, you bless us so much with your love and your grace and your mercy. And we stand in awe of you. And Lord, you've called us to be your workers in the harvest fields. And so, Lord, we bring you our gifts. And we pray that they will be multiplied, that they will be used for that harvest. Lord, may we see a harvest. Lord, may we just come and know that people are drawn to you. And so, Father, we ask you to bless these gifts in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, our subject today is the Transfiguration of Jesus. This is Transfiguration Sunday. Every year, the Transfiguration story is told on the Sunday before Lent begins. And each year there's a different account. So you hear the accounts on 1 year from Matthew, 1 year from Luke, and on year C, which is where we are, it's the, year C, it's the story from Luke, which we'll be hearing a little bit later on. But you'll recall the story two figures appeared with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. So I thought we'd sing, "These are the days of Elijah." Sorry, folks. "These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored." Well, we're going to hear two readings. The first is from, these are the readings set for today. The first is from Exodus chapter 34 and tells the story of how Moses went up into the cloud, into the mountains to meet with God and was given the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And as he came down, his face was shining, as we sung just now, shining like the sun, and the people were terrified. But as the glory began to fade, so he veiled himself and went back into the cloud to meet with God. So let's hear that story now from Luke chapter 34. Thank you, Bill. Sorry, Exodus. And as we journey together through one of the most inspiring events of the life of Jesus, his transfiguration on the mountain, a momentary revelation of divine glory gives us a glimpse into the very heart of God's redemptive plan. Focus here is on the incredible grace of God that is willing to choose a path of suffering to reconcile humanity to himself. It's a moment where heaven touches earth and where we, as believers, are invited to encounter God's glory in ways that both challenge and uplift our faith. So let's hear the story of the Transfiguration from Luke. Thank you, Sandra.
Changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid, and they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Some of us remember going to Easter People, or even to Spring Harvest, or any of the other kind of Christian conferences that are held around the country at various times. Sorry, find somebody to put my glasses right. And as we have experienced those wonderful moments where we really experience a kind of uplifting of our faith, we call them mountaintop moments, kind of after the story. But here, this isn't really a mountaintop experience in that way. Because if that were, the focus then would be on the disciples and how they were feeling and their emotions at the time. But the focus is clearly here on Jesus. And we see a different side to the mountaintop experience. Really, there is a dark cloud that sits over the mountain. Brief context, Luke in his gospel concentrates on the identity and the mission of Jesus. Who is Jesus? What did he come for? And his mission as the promised Messiah. And this experience, the transfiguration experience, comes after Jesus has been teaching about his death with an emphasis on discipleship. If you remember, Jesus told his disciples, "If you want to follow me, you'll need to take up your cross to do that." So Jesus has been teaching them about the fact that he has to die and what it will cost them as disciples to follow him. But as we read in the Gospels, they didn't understand. They couldn't see it. They didn't get it. And so that's the context in which we find the Transfiguration. And the setting, a call to retreat, a call to prayer. In verse 28, Luke begins by telling us that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up onto a mountain to pray. Now, Luke is the only one who says that Jesus went up onto the mountain to pray. And of course, this was the pattern of Jesus, wasn't it? That he would withdraw to a lonely place to encounter and meet with his Father. And prayer and solitude are often the backdrop for some of the most profound moments in Scripture. As we saw Moses in the Exodus reading, in prayer, meeting with God. Here, prayer is the precursor to the whole transfiguration experience and the events that occur afterwards. You see, Jesus understood the necessity of retreating from the crowds and the demands of ministry to spend intimate time with the Father. And we learn an essential lesson, really, from this. Because if Jesus, the Son of God, needed to withdraw for prayer, how much more do we, his followers, need time away from the busyness of life to be in the presence of God? Prayer is not just a ritual, not just something we do, but it's where we meet God Almighty himself and where we are transformed in the quiet of his glory. If we want anything to happen, prayer has got to be the starting point, because action occurs after that time of prayer. And so Jesus took these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, up onto the mountain to pray. Why those three disciples? Well, they're the ones who early on had left everything to follow Jesus, and they became his inner circle. And so they were the ones that Jesus took up the mountain to experience this moment of divine glory. Because as Jesus prayed, something remarkable happened. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. The ordinary became extraordinary. What Peter, James, and John saw was nothing short of the glory of God shining through Jesus, revealing his divine nature. It wasn't the light shining on Jesus, but the light was coming from within. This was not a moment of transformation for Jesus, but it was a revelation to the disciples. The veil of the humanity of Jesus, this man who had been walking the earth, who had been teaching and preaching and healing, suddenly, for a moment, that humanity was lifted and they saw the brilliance of his divinity. His face, shining like the sun, was a visual manifestation of God's glory, this Shekinah glory of God. They saw the same presence that appeared to Moses. But here it's not a reflected glory. Moses' face was shining in reflection of God. But here, this is God himself. This is the shining of God. This is the glory of God coming from within as evidence that he is God himself. This is the same glory that had been hidden in Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. And we read that his clothing became white and gleaming. White is always a symbol of heaven and represents purity. It represents holiness. It represents divinity. And as we read in the Bible about the post-resurrection angels, those who sat on the tombstone, they were dressed in white. The heavenly citizens of Revelation 3 are clothed in white. Even the throne of God himself is white. We will be wearing white when we go to glory. And so, Jesus' clothing became white. This divinity, this heavenly characteristic of God. What's even more profound, perhaps, is that this glory was accompanied by these two figures, Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the law, as given through the Ten Commandments. Elijah represented the prophets, the law and the prophets, the whole of, if you like, of the Old Testament. And here they are speaking with Jesus about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. The Transfiguration confirms that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He is the culmination of God's redemptive plan, which had been unfolding since the time of Moses. What's more, they're alive. Elijah and Moses are alive. You want proof of resurrection? There it is. Interesting that Peter knew exactly who they were, although Moses had died some 1,500 years before, and Elijah had been taken up some 900 years before. But Peter immediately and instinctively knew who they were. And so in this moment, we're reminded that Christ is not just a moral teacher or a prophet or a good man, but the eternal Son of God who was sent to accomplish the salvation of the world. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, they're discussing Jesus' departure. Some translations say Exodus, same word in Greek. And the choice of topic shows how central the death of Jesus is. It's a reminder of the Exodus, where Moses delivered Israel from slavery. Jesus' exodus from this world will deliver people from slavery of sin to freedom in Christ Jesus, to be reconciled once again to our God. This moment of glory was a preview of the ultimate victory of Christ that would be displayed on the cross and in his resurrection. This act of saving grace. And this talk of Jesus' impending death moves that entire experience from a mountaintop experience to one, and often with mountaintop experiences, we associate that with joy and kind of excitement, don't we? But it moves that experience to a much more somber tone as the shadow of the cross lengthens over the scene. Peter stuck the moment, ever eager to speak, reacts to this revelation by offering to build three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. On the surface, this seems to be a sincere response, but he'd misunderstood the moment. He wanted to capture this glory, to hold on to it, as perhaps we did when we went to these Easter people and so on. He wanted to make it permanent. However, this was not a moment to be enclosed in structures, but a glimpse of God's eternal glory that cannot be contained. It's not an invitation to preserve the moment, but it's a revelation to the disciples and through the centuries to us today. How often do we try, perhaps, to hold on to fleeting moments of divine revelation? I think Doreen referred to it in her prayers, where you want to lock them away, to keep them as we remember them. But God's glory is not meant to be confined to our experiences. It's meant to transform us, to propel us forward in our Christian journey. Jesus' glory is not something we merely admire from a distance. It's something that calls us into a deeper relationship, into a life of following him. While Peter is speaking, a cloud envelops them, and a voice comes from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." The cloud, a symbol of God's presence, reminds us of all those Old Testament encounters with God, where the cloud is so important, significance. As the Exodus, as the people went through the wilderness, they were following a pillar of cloud, the cloud that the presence that filled the temple. And of course, as we heard from Exodus with Moses on Mount Sinai, the voice from the cloud affirms Jesus as the chosen Son of God. In fact, God the Father is directing our attention to Jesus, not to the disciples. His command is clear. Listen to him. A few verses after the end of our reading, Jesus talks about his death again and demands of the disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. Let these words sink into your ears." But they still didn't understand. A few verses after that, they're arguing about who the greatest is going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Listen to him. If we truly want to encounter the glory of God, then we must listen to Jesus. For he is the full revelation of God's will, his character, his purpose for humanity. God's glory is revealed through Jesus, and we are invited to respond in faith and obedience. How do we listen to God's word? Well, Peter recalls this scene in his second letter, chapter 1, and verses 16 onwards. And Peter says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power of..." Is this the right thing? Not really. Okay, I'll just read it, if that's okay. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the words of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So what does Peter say here is our way of listening to him. "We ourselves heard this voice, and we have the word of the prophets, and you will do well to pay attention to it." In other words, we need to read our Bibles. We need to read Scripture to hear today the voice of Jesus. For his voice comes ringing clear. How many people have been converted simply because they read Mark's gospel? or other Gospels. The voice of Jesus, the voice of God, comes ringing clear through his word. Peter ends by saying, we have the prophetic word to light our way in life. Listen to him. After the voice from the cloud speaks, the disciples are left in stunned silence. They kept silent and told no one at that time what they have seen. This isn't the excitement and joy of what we would call a mountaintop experience. They were stunned. They couldn't speak. It's hard to speak when you've encountered the living God in such a powerful way. Their fear wasn't a terror like the Israelites in the Exodus reading, but it was a holy awe. It was jaw-dropping. It was reverence. They had just witnessed something that was beyond words, beyond comprehension. They couldn't say anything. When we encounter God's glory in our own lives, whether it's through his word, through moments of prayer, or through the beauty of his creation, our response should be one of awe and reverence. We were listening to a song last night with, I think it's something they can't hear do. But it's accompanied by such wonderful pictures, creation. Really inspires awe that God could create some things that are so beautiful. The glory of God is not something we can fully understand, but it is something we are called to experience and respond to. We sang earlier, be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving. In this place, the glory of the Lord is shining all around. We're called to experience it and to respond to it. And so the Transfiguration is not just a story from the past. As Peter recalls it, still very fresh in his mind, it's a powerful reminder for us today. It calls us to see Jesus as the glorious Son of God, to listen to his voice, to follow him in faith. Just as Peter and James and John saw a glimpse of Jesus' divine glory, we too are called to experience his presence and to be transformed by it. It reminds us of the incredible grace and mercy of God who chose the way of suffering to redeem us from the wages of sin. The grace that brings us through the cross into a right relationship with God Almighty himself. The encounter on the mountain reminds us that glory often comes in unexpected ways. It's not meant to be captured or contained, but shared. It calls us to a deeper faith and trust in the one who is both fully God and fully human. And in the moments of our own lives when we encounter God's presence, we too are invited to listen to his voice and let his glory shape us into the people he has called us to be. We are called to listen to his word, his leading, his guidance through the word. Not to listen to the world and what that's got to say, but to listen to God himself. And when we leave today, let's remember that the glory of God is not a distant thing. It is revealed in Christ and offered to us through the Holy Spirit. May we, like the disciples, experience awe and reverence before his presence. And may we be transformed by his glory as we listen to his voice and as we follow him. So let's be quiet for a moment. What's your response to what we've read this morning? If you need to thank God for the mountaintop experiences in your own life, then now is the time. If God has encouraged your heart and you want to thank him, then now is the time. If you want to draw nearer to God, invite him right now in to come close to you. If you want to experience that glory of God, if you want to praise him for all he has done for you, then do that right now. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the revelation of your glory in the Transfiguration. We are humbled and awed by the reminder that Christ is your Son, the fulfillment of all your promises. Help us to listen to him, to follow him, and to allow his glory to transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing, There is a Redeemer. Before we do that, I just wanted to read part of a hymn. I would have chosen it, but it came to me after that I had to put the hymns in. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. So let's learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant king. And so we sing, There is a Redeemer, as we remind ourselves that Jesus chose the path of the cross to bring us into his glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your precious word that has come to us down the centuries. We thank you for the story of Moses as he met with you in the cloud. We thank you for the glory of Jesus as he met with you on the mountaintop. We thank you for those moments of glory that have impacted our lives. And Father, as we leave today, may we go in the light of your love, in the light of your glory. Bathe us, Father, in your Holy Spirit, and may that light that is shining from you shine within our hearts and out to those with whom we might share the good news this week. And Father, we turn our eyes to our world thrown upside down this week. And so, Lord, we pray for leaders of nations. We pray for the President of the United States that he picks a path of security and safety and cooperation. We pray for the leaders of the European nations as they are in a different place perhaps now than they were a few weeks ago. We pray for wisdom as they seek to carry out their work. But Lord, may they carry out the work with the light of your love and wisdom shining through them. We pray for President Zelensky and the people of Ukraine. Lord, uphold them and strengthen them in their struggles. Lord, may there be a way to peace. And so we pray for the President of Russia, that he too might be encouraged to seek a way of peace. And Father, we seek a way of peace in your holy land. Lord, we are distressed by what we read and hear. And so, Lord, we pray that your light will indeed shine on those leaders, that a way of peace may be found. But also, Father, we recognize the light of your promises towards Israel. And so we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so, Father, as we come to the end of our service, we pray for ourselves and our families. We pray for those who don't know you yet. Lord, that the light that we may shine for them of the gospel might draw them close to you. We pray for ourselves and our journey with you. Lord, may we walk in the light of your love, and may we be the servants that you have called us to be. And we pray for this church, and we pray for Bethesda as well this morning. Lord, may they act as lights for the community. May they reflect your glory. And so as we bring our prayers, we bring our prayer that Jesus himself prayed and taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. And we conclude our service by singing, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine. Whose glory fills our church, whose glory fills our lives. And so may we go in the light of his love. Shall we share the grace together? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you to the music group.